This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like the narrative out there is you just go pick this torpedo bat off the shelf. And that's, in our case, that's not what it is. I mean, this is meticulously outfitted for each individual where we, our players that have gone through it are very much in the loop of what's going on. So, you know, much like for years now, you get fitted for golf clubs. This is a similar thing now with bats. That's just part of the future, but part of the now. But this notion that it's just, oh, I'll take the torpedo bat, 34-32 is not even close to what it is.
That was Aaron Boone. I think he was on Jim Duquette's show on MLB Network Radio talking about torpedo bats, and they seem to be the rage right now. Ellie De La Cruz was using one yesterday.
Adley Rutschman.
I saw that Gary Sanchez says he has a torpedo bat, but the Yankees, though I did read Aaron Judge is not torpedo bats, but they were hitting some home runs over the weekend, and a couple of those guys were using them.
Wells, Volpe, Josh Chisholm, right?
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Yeah. This, to me, is just typical Major League Baseball. Like, they doctor balls, and then we find out about it after the fact when, like, scientists start looking at why home runs are up, and then they inspect the balls, and then post-haste Major League sort of admits that they changed things. It was clear this was coming. It sounds like these teams wanted to make sure that these bats are all have the right specs and would have checked with the league to make sure they're okay. Why wouldn't they have done, you know, when Manfred does his State of the Union stuff, or just at any time during the winter meetings, why would they not have gotten ahead of this and just say, hey, a lot of teams have looked into this. These are legal. Here's why they're legal. We're on top of this. We are inspecting all the bats. Science is always
changing. Their messaging's always good.
Why do they create conspiracy? Like, because I'm kind of now thinking, this feels shady to me.
Oh, it's all weird, but I'm assuming here that the Yankees and probably the majority of the players that you just listed, Ken, they had to be using these bats during spring training. And we didn't hear a peep about the torpedo bat or any of that. We're just hearing it now after they hit 72 home runs the first series against the Brewers.
Do we think these things are going to get outlawed?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. The more success that the Yankees have with them.
But other guys, are like, everybody's eligible to use them.
I'm with you. But it's going to continue to be a story.
Or somebody's going to take a line drive off the temple or something. Like,
possibly. But somebody already can take a line drive.
I was about to say, I mean, that can happen now.
Yeah.
I mean, it can, but if it happens off a torpedo bat, you don't think that.
If it puts a hole in the guy's head, it's going to hurt if it
hits. But it's gonna,
if he gets hit in the temple by a ball off a bat, it's going to hurt either way.
Like, hey, well, I'm talking about, like, what if it ends somebody's career?
I hear you.
Or worse.
I'm old enough to remember that when the Orioles bastardized their wall a few years ago, people were freaking out that somebody was going to get killed in that corner, and nobody did.
I'll say this. Whoever made the torpedo bat, he's going to make a lot of money.
That guy, I think, works for the Marlins now.
He's going to make a lot of money.
You want to get to the Red Sox?
I just wonder. This thing is either going to go away quickly, or it's going to be like the season of the torpedo bat. It's going to be like, We're going to see some records fall or some weird stuff happen.
What's also going to be interesting is how many more players are going to jump in on this, seeing all of the success that all of these guys
are
saying. Having.
This either becomes like a, hey, maybe we let the, you know, Pandora's box is open. Let's try to close it now. Or I think it could really kind of juice things up.
I'm curious. I wasn't thinking of this, but I think I'm going to ask Scott Braun about that when we have him on in about 8 minutes, say, from foul territory. Does he think these bats are going to get banned? Let's get to the Red Sox.
Let's get to another conspiracy theory.
What's that?
That Devers is sabotaging our season because they jerked him around in the offseason.
Well, Rafael
Devers. Could this guy really be that bad? This in the age of the torpedo bat, Rafael Devers can't even foul a ball off?
He's got a hole in his bat.
Do we know if he's using the torpedo?
0 for 19 with 15 strikeouts. Alex Cora, what's wrong with your DH?
There was some positive today. There was one swing in the last at-bat that I was like, okay, we're getting there. The foul ball to left field. He was behind the ball, and he actually got the barrel to it. Good at-bat, too. He walked. So, the strikeouts are up there. But the one thing I we'll find it mechanically, the good thing is that he's not chasing pitches. You know, he's swinging at pitches in the zone. Obviously, the bad thing is he's swinging and missing those pitches, but there were some positives today, and we just build from that, and hopefully, like I said yesterday, hopefully Wednesday is the day that he gets one, hits it, and he can breathe and go from there.
It's a sliding scale, fellas.
He had a good foul.
Wait a minute. This is one of the highest paid players in the history of the Boston Red Sox, and he's talking about him the way we were talking about Kobe Mayo in the eighth inning of games last year.
Yes. Chris Davis.
Like, no, seriously.
Yeah, that's where we are.
I mean, that's, come on now.
Yeah,
that's... And nothing happened other than an injury that might have been fake because he didn't want to go to Mexico City or he didn't want to do anything in the preseason anyway. And now this guy can't make contact with a ball. Like, that's where we are.
You think he's sabotaging?
I don't know.
He's a conspiracy theorist.
How could he get this bad this fast?
Dude, I can't go out and say he's torpedoing their season. Trying to. I can't say
you
that.
Don't think this has it. You don't.
I don't think he's happy.
I've been saying
he's
the whole time.
Not happy,
who's the one person who keeps putting this on the rundown like every 10 days saying, I think this is a
dude,
thing?
This is embarrassing and a bad look for him. 15 strikeouts and 19 at bats?
No hits. He's 0 for 19. He did have a good foul ball, though.
Is he on their roster June 1st?
Where's he? Are you going to trade him?
Dude!
How many teams are taking that contract?
I think they would see this for what it is.
Yeah. He wants to be a bad
third
baseman.
Let him play at first base for me and go hit. Could he be worse at first base?
Does he want to be at first base, though? He wants to be at third base.
Well, when do we hear an update from
Casas? I think
at
this point, he would get out of town, get away from Casas.
When do we hear an update
from him? And get to play first base. I'm just telling you, dude, that my spidey senses have been tingling on this thing from the giddy up. This looks personal to me.
Let's quickly, before we step out, one more Red Sox story.
Nice foul ball.
Yeah, that's good, Alex.
Come on.
The Red Sox, right at the end of spring training, it sounded like they were pessimistic they were going to get an extension done with Garrett Crochet. And here we are a week into the season, and they get an extension done with Garrett Crochet.
The Red Sox are spending money again, which should scare everybody around here. And our buddy Dan Shaughnessy, I guess, shamed him into it.
Yes.
But like they're not being run like the Rays anymore. So that era's over.
What do you call them? The Rays of the whatever that river is up in Boston.
Charles or
yeah.
And they've got a ridiculous farm system even after the Crochet trade. And I got news for you. They're not going to cling to all their prospects like their dying breath. They're going to move some more to get better this year. So the sleeping giant is awakened, and the clock's ticking on Mike Elias to extend
anybody. By the way, coming up next, we will continue to talk baseball. I do want to let you know, John Talty from CBS Sports wrote a great piece about the aftermath of Kevin Willard leaving. He's going to join us at 5. Curious to get his thoughts on Buzz Williams, who's the new coach at Maryland. We'll talk some Maryland basketball at the bottom of this hour. But Scott Braun, foul territory, joins us next here on The Fan.